proud to be live and local.
Just in touch with what's going on.
Hometown Radio, 1340 WSTA.
WSTA St. Thomas would like to say good morning to WAPA spokesperson, Ms. Peterson. Good morning.
Okay. And thank you so much for having me this morning.
Great, great. WAPA update. Well, before you start, let me just say thank you to the great folks at WAPA. Hey, hey, hey. You know, we all get excited when the power go off or the water is off, but we don't say thank you when they get it back on. We want to say thank you in advance and welcome and give us your update and share what you got to tell our listeners.
Absolutely. So my name is Chanel Peterson. I'm the Director of Communications for the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority. And I also want to extend a thanks to the WAPA family. We have had, as many people know, a very challenging last 3 weeks into the month. And with not just with the potential hurricanes, but with several challenges on the electric side on St. Thomas, as well as on the water side on St. Croix. And so I do want to thank the transmission and distribution departments and the supportive roles that have been played to get St. Thomas back up online, as well as to our plant operators and those who are working at both the Richmond plant as well as the Randolph Harley plant. Because even to last week, we had an emergency repair on St. Croix to the Sentinels, one of the facility that creates or processes the propane. And so our team was able to keep everyone online despite having this emergency repair, which was fantastic. And they kept us informed so we could keep the community informed. So it was truly a great internal collaboration, as well as being able to provide timely updates to the community on what would have been a potential rotation schedule. But they were able to keep everybody up and no one even noticed, like you said. And that's a lot of what happens behind the scenes at the plants, both on St. Thomas and on St. Croix. There are always people working, whether it's our maintenance crews, our preventive maintenance crew, as well as our technicians and engineers that are in the control rooms, monitoring the load across all the feeders. And I have to give a shout out to the dispatch team, because the dispatch team works 24 hours as well as the folks who work in the plant in the event that we do have our customers have outages. And in fact, when people are sending emails through our website at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. indicating that their power is out or their water is out, it's dispatch who are taking those calls, taking those emails, and following up the appropriate departments right then and there, no matter the hour. So thank you for the round the clock. And then this is a little sleazy, but I'm going to shout out my communications team. It's a small group of us, but we're also in the trenches getting out the information. And part of that for today is we do have a serious topic on hand for the island of St. Croix. And that's part of our efforts to combat what began as the red and brown water for several reasons. So in August, we had an influx of sargassum, and that was layered on top of the extensive drought that we've had over the last year. Unfortunately, we have seen some much, much needed rain on the island of St. Croix, but we heard from our customers. We listened, you know, when it came to the protesting on the water for many of the people who were being impacted, especially on the western side of St. Croix. And with that, we garnered some technical assistance from the Environmental Protection Agency, and in collaboration with the Department of Planning and Natural Resources, as well as the University of the Virgin Islands. The last week of September, we were able to conduct 65 extended samples across the water distribution here in St. Croix. Now, just for everybody's awareness, the water department within WAPA, they test daily. They sample daily across the territory. Across the territory. But as we're talking about St. Croix, we also test regularly at the source. And so when we received a lot of the additional complaints during our drought season because we were unable to conduct our aggressive flushing program, we gained the technical assistance from our partners, local and federal, and we went out there and we really focused in on the areas that had complained about the reddish water, as well as additional areas throughout the system. And what the EPA test results came back with is elevated levels of lead and copper. Now, to be clear, there is no safe level of lead in water. And the governor issued advisory just last night, you know, helping us to increase awareness of the current advisory not to drink, consume, or cook with water currently on the island of St. Croix if you're receiving WAPA's water. We are still investigating along EPA and DPNR. In fact, WAPA immediately over the weekend also started conducting resampling of the 35 areas that had those elevated levels. So out of the 66, we had 35 samples that had elevated levels. And what they did at that point is, which is just protocol, is they then conduct 3 to 5 minutes of flushing. And after 3 to 5 minutes, out of those 35 areas or samples that had the elevated levels, we were only left with two. So two remaining samples still had elevated levels. And so with that, until we identify the source of the lead and copper, we are advising the community not to consume the water. In fact, now that, as I mentioned, we've been getting additional rain, we actually were able to conduct planned flushing last night in the Calcahoon area, because from those two samples, four areas continue to see those elevated levels, which include Diamond, Castle Burke, Calcahoon, and Mont Bijou. So we're truly advising people not to consume the tap water, not to utilize the tap water for cooking, and ensure that, you know, if they have the opportunity, they can actually go on our website, they can go to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, and we provide some additional steps that people can empower themselves with to ensure that they're protecting themselves and their family. And that includes things like replacing plumbing fixtures that may contain lead. And so oftentimes brass faucets, fittings, and valves that are sometimes labeled or advertised as lead-free may actually contribute to lead in drinking water. In addition to that, consider using a filter certified for lead removal. Now, keep in mind, there are many filters on the market, so it's very important that whatever filter is chosen, that you reference the EPA website and you really, you know, read the box essentially to ensure that they're lead certified, because some manufacturers or products can claim to reduce lead, but in fact it's a very specific list that actually treats lead removal. Some other things that customers can do to reduce their impact is to regularly clean faucet aerators. Aerators are the screens at the ends of the faucet, and sometimes they can collect debris. So it's important to rinse out those collected materials to reduce debris accumulation. And then lastly, of course, is to use an alternative source. So if there isn't the opportunity to go through these steps to check your plumbing fixtures, if you don't have the ability to get a filter, utilize a different source of water, and that may just simply be bottled water. Now, there are there's a lab within on the island that can conduct as well lead testing. However, they do send it off island, so it would take a couple weeks in order to get that information. Now, we do want to also ensure the public that in addition to the resampling, in addition to aggressively flushing and scheduling these flushes in the four neighborhoods that were mentioned, we are continuing with our water rehabilitation projects, which is funded through the Environmental Protection Agency, through the drinking water program through DPNR. That continues. And so the Clifton Hill project, which replaces the old ductile iron pipes with the new PVC pipes, that project has been completed. The project located on Hannah's Ridge, the Campo Rico project, that project is about 70% completed. And in fact, we were able to expand the scope of that project. So more customers are going to be served, more customers are going to have convenient locations for their meters. And so that's really good news. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, the board approved that extension. And so even though we're at 70% now with the extension for, I believe it was 18 months to expand the scope of the project, we'll see a lot more customers being able to get online the WAPA system. And then coming up at early 2024, we'll be kicking off the Hannah's Rest project. Now, these are our short-term rehabilitation projects, but we also have a long-term rehabilitation project, which falls under the Prudent Replacement Program through FEMA. Now, that project will overhaul the entire St. Croix system. So not only just the pipes or the water lines, but it's going to include adding storage tanks, increasing inventory levels, having capacity, additional capacity to support the firefighters in times of fire. And then that includes new pumps, new valves. And that's a really exciting endeavor because that's going to be a huge change for the water system on the island of St. Croix. Now, I guess I've spoken about some of the near-term projects we're working on and that are getting completed. And I discussed the long-term project that we are working on. But we also want to ensure that we're looking for real-time solutions to the elevated levels of lead and copper right now. One of the things that EPA has committed to is providing additional technical assistance in the resampling program. There's also expectations to extend the resampling and take it to St. Thomas and St. John. Now, as many customers may or may not know, St. Croix has definitely been a priority on the water side because of the very aged piping. In fact, some of the piping on St. Croix goes back to the 1950s. And so that's really why we've had to focus in on rebuilding and replacing a lot of these old pipes because they're truly deteriorating, which is impacting the quality of the water. So as the authority, EPA, receives additional information in collaboration with the Office of the Governor, our Department of Health, as well as Vitima, will be putting out more information. In fact, yesterday afternoon, the Joint Information Center, the JIC, was activated. And even up until early this morning, the Office of the Governor had a call with the lead agencies that are going to be working on these solutions for our customers to provide additional relief. So that's the major update for today.
Great. I have a question. When you talk about lead in the water, how does that affect your skin if persons are taking a bath in that water?
So the level of lead is going to have certain results. Right now, Department of Health is reviewing the test results, and they're going to be the ones advising from a health impact and aspect what customers should be mindful of if and when they've came into contact with the lead in the water.
And speaking of your St. Croix project with replacing pipes, share with our listeners the areas that from where did it started from, Frederickstead to Christiansted, and during that time, how do you separate sections as far as, okay, we did this area here, so you can have some water now, but you're still cut off. How do you do that?
So it's really a balancing act of priorities, because we have two main issues on the aging water infrastructure on St. Croix. One is leaks. So we have a lot of main lines that leak. In fact, 30 or 40% of the water is lost. And so that's a huge issue. The second issue is the deteriorating pipes that cause discoloration in water. So one of the first things that we focus on is the areas that we saw significant leaks, and that included downtown Frederickstead and downtown Christiansted. So those two areas were first prioritized in the replacement of the ductile iron pipes to the PVC pipes. And then we're balancing with that the areas that are mostly impacted with the discolored water, whether reddish brown water. And so that's why we have completed the Clifton Hill project, and we're in the Campo Rico's project and the Hatter's Rest. So as you can, for people who are unfamiliar, these areas are all primarily west of the Richmond plant. And partly because we're focusing there is because, and this was such a great example that was used, they're at the Richmond plant is where we have Seven Seas is located, who produces the water. And from that main tank, the water is then pumped to the other storage tank, whereas the majority of the storage tanks across the island are gravity fed. And so the area of Frederickstead is the furthest away from the plant. And so the example was, if you imagine the storage plant at Richmond as the heart, and you have to travel gravity fed, some pump all throughout the veins down to the fingers, that's where Frederickstead customers are located. And so they're passing through all those aged pipes, which then creates discolored water towards the fingers, towards our customers. So that's why we have our initial focus is on the Frederickstead side, as well as, you know, customers who are essentially west of the Richmond plant, as they are receiving water that passes through the entire distribution system.
Okay, question. When you talk about leaking pipes, lost water, how does that affect the customer's bill, or if it do?
So leaking pipes does not affect the customer's bill on the water distribution side, because there is no usage. Now, if someone has a leak in their home on their property, that now is impacting their usage. And that's why we often try to tell our customers, please be sure to fix your leak. So when you're thinking that one little drop that's coming out of your sink, coming out of your shower, coming out of your garden hose, that drop adds up day after day, week after week, month after month. So it's really important to keep your bill accurate by fixing these leaks and ensuring that you're really consuming the water that you're paying for. Now, when we have leaks on the distribution side, or like in the main distribution, whether it's, in the essentially like within the neighborhood or along the road, that does not impact our customers. It impacts our bottom line on the WAPA's end, because we still have to pay Seven Seas for the production of water that they create for us. And then our loss is the loss that happens throughout the distribution, which is why we're really balancing that focus when it comes to rehabilitation projects as on the areas that are losing the most water from leaks, as well as our customers who are experiencing reddish to brown water.
Great. You know, as I listen to you, my question would be, how WAPA is being funded to deal with all these projects?
So we have a series of grants throughout, both on the electric side as well as on the water side, for these projects. Primarily on the water side, the Environmental Protection Agency right now is funding our rehabilitation projects, both on St. Croix as well as our submissions for projects on St. Thomas are potentially going to come through the EPA through their drinking water rehabilitation program. And we work very closely with the Department of Planning and Natural Resources to receive those funds. On the long-term project, FEMA is would be our funding source to rehaul, because FEMA would be supporting the damage that was done after Hurricane Maria here on St. Croix.
Great. And I know we're short on time, but how has the heat temperatures out there affected workers and equipment at WAPA?
So the elements are always going to be a challenge. One, we live in a tropical island, so we've got salt in the air. That's always fun to deal with when you're talking about, you know, metal machinery and brass, iron, things like that. So that's one way. But when you talk about the workers, I mean, I think we're getting into a cooler time period now that we're getting towards the end of October. But for a lot of our employees, they have to wear what's called FR gear, or fire resistant or retardant. And it's hot. It is excruciatingly hot. And it's for their protection and safety. So it's one of those things where they have to wear them, especially when we talk about our line workers, our plant operators, anybody in the agency who's dealing with electricity has to wear this gear. And so we've been very mindful with the heat advisories to keep our employees hydrated, supplying lots of water when they are in the field. In fact, we even had some gracious customers who stopped by when we were conducting the feeder 13 repairs and brought the crews down there, snacks and Gatorade and water. So we are so grateful for our customers, because as much as WAPA has its challenges, they know that we have lots and tons of hardworking men and women here at the authority.
Great, great.
So thank you.
And, you know, beside, you know, when people hear WAPA, they think of this big industry, this machine. But they forget about there's people behind that. But, you know, so we want to thank the great folks of WAPA. Hey, handling the challenges with a smile. And want everybody to have a super day. Is anything you want to share with us before we let you go?
I just want to say thank you to the WAPA family again, and for all their hard work and all that they do 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. And I also want to thank our customers for your patience, because for a long time, WAPA's been making, you know, perhaps promises. And I think for lots of our customers now, they're really seeing those changes with the Wartzillas coming online shortly in St. Thomas, improving the outages and shortening the outages that occur on the island of St. Thomas. In fact, I was just talking to some customers on St. Croix, and they said it's been a huge difference for the last 7 years that they've been living here since we were able to install the Agrecos here on the island of St. Croix. And so we're continuing to improve. And despite the fact that we are dealing with an aged infrastructure, both on the water as well as on the power side, we continue to push through and find innovative ways on improving the system, working with our partners on, and really listening to our customers. And if customers aren't aware, please do look us up on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. And if you are interested in receiving WAPA alerts, visit our website and sign up for WAPA alerts. Go to your app store and download Everbridge and keep informed, because we want to keep our customers informed. We want to ensure that we create a dialogue. So thank you again. And I'm Chanel Peterson, Director of Communications.
One more thing.
Yes.
We every now and then we get calls from seniors, and in their area, I know some places in Savannah and other areas, the streetlights are not working. And they say they've been out for months. Who's responsible for that?
So our transmission and distribution team is responsible for a large portion of the streetlights. One of the biggest challenges that we've had is really on the manufacturing side of transformers. Most of these lights require transformers, and nationwide there has been a shortage. And so we have been on back order for transformers going on almost 2 years. So as the moment that they arrive on island, and we're going to do a lot more with when it comes to fixing streetlights. And please be mindful that this is a territory-wide issue, but it's also a region-wide issue. It's a national issue where the manufacturers have just not been able to create the transformers fast enough. And so it's just been a challenge for everyone. And so we're hoping to find some resolution. And I know that, I mean, even on my street just recently, I was like, what? My light went out? No. So I know the struggle. And I know that I get calls from folks who have older parents, from folks who are, you know, assisting with the elderly. We are doing our absolute best to keep the power on. And with that, that includes the streetlights. And so I'm hoping in the next few months, we'll have some good news about delivery of additional transformers to support the needs here across the territory.
Awesome. I got to say thank you very much, Ms. Peterson, for checking in and giving us that WAPA update. And we look forward to future updates.
You're most welcome. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. Lucky 13 WSTA, Ms. Peterson of WAPA with the WAPA update right here on Lucky 13 WSTA St. Thomas. Hey, it's time for the second cup with Robert Brown.